Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom. Hallelujah. Am I coming in, saints? Shalom, shalom, shalom. Bless the Father this day. Am I coming in okay? Oh, once again, beautiful. 11. I like that number. Well, welcome. Welcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Getting 10s and 11s off the chart. Good to see you all in the room. Bless you, brothers and sisters. I'm not 100%, but I'm going to give it all for the Most High. Hallelujah. Thank you for Teacher Shane setting me up here for broadcast. Thank you for Brother Scott. You're setting the heat going here. Hallelujah. It's a little bit chilly here in Tennessee. Thank the Father for his presence, for his spirit in this wicked age. Really, truly thank the Father for his presence, for his leadership that he has set in place, for his servants who are willingly serving, freely serving. Thank the Father for the pastors. Thank the Father for the elders. I salute them all with reverence, giving them honor in submission. Hallelujah. We miss this, saints. We are missing the kingdom. If we miss the saints, we are missing the kingdom. Christ said, Yeshua said, the kingdom of Yah is within you. And the kingdom of Yah is at hand. You know, when we read the gospel accounts, I truly always taken back, you know, because this is a very, very clear speech that Yeshua shared with his disciples, his obedient ones. That's what disciples are. It was very clear. His speech was so clear about the ministry, about advancing the kingdom of Yah, about bringing the Father, bringing his Father the glory, bringing Yah, the Most High Yah, all the glory and honor. That's what Christ was very clear about. So the message is clear. The messengers have been tainted. The message is clear, but the ones that bring in forth the messages are the ones that have been messing up the message. And there's debate that just transpired a few weeks back was a clear testament of the foolishness that is brought forth by a lot of these so-called messengers of the word. I've seen that spirit before, but I've never heard one say that the entire book is Torah. So we're living in a very, very convoluted age. If one doesn't have the fear of Yah, I truly say that if one does not have the spirit of Yah, one does not have the fear of Yah, one does not have the wisdom of Yah, it should not surprise the obedient ones. It should not surprise the obedient ones the fact that many are going to get left behind. And this race is only really for the few. Because I tell you what, saints, this race belongs to the humble. This race belongs to the repentant ones. This race belongs to the one that walks in fear and in trembling. See, these words are very, very antiquated, very strange, very inapplicable for this age. These words, whether it's Shakespearean, whether it is all this Englishify, like I've been sharing, it's just, nevertheless, there is a force behind these words. There is a spirit behind these words. What is the spirit behind the word humble? What is the spirit behind the word repentance? Because Romans 2 clearly goes a little in depth about repentance. You know, it talks about mocking Yah. It talks about what kind of wrath are you heaping? What kind of wrath are we heaping to ourselves, those of us that say that we have repented, those of us that say that we are in the way, in the faith? You know, yesterday we had a beautiful message that has come forth from our shepherd, Pastor Dao, who delivered a great message, honestly. I had quite a few takeaways that it's just a lot of it is just re-emphasizing the fear of Yah that we need to have. Let me know, Saints, if I'm falling off the chart here as far as the audio. I'm trying to save my voice here. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, yesterday's message was very convicting in the fact it touched on many subjects such as covetousness, being idolatry, okay? Idolatry, which is known to relax the laws of Yah. And also covering the subject of hiding wickedness in Israel. Hiding wickedness or hiding wicked ones in Israel. You know, a lot of times this day and age, we pat ourselves on the back saying that we're not guilty of idolatry. You know, because we don't have idols. You know, we didn't do what Achan did in Joshua 7. So therefore, we're not idolatrous people. But one quick check of one's mind, examination of their mind, is a clear testament of how much idolatry. I mean, we're talking about residue. We're not talking about great big acts of idolatry. Okay, we're talking about this years and years of layers of residue that has been, you know, literally been the foundation of the mind that you say you have. Okay, so this is a very, 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 very sober walk, Saints. And if we're not vigilant, I tell you what, we can't say that we are walking soberly, can we? So today's, don't really want to go too long, but I tell you what, I want to touch on the subject of repentance. The title is going to be Walking Repentantly. So we're going to go into Romans 2. Bless you. Hallelujah. Bless you, Saints. Pray for me. We need to pray for one another in this journey that we're in. Pray for pastors, pray for elders, pray for the saints. Let's be long-suffering one to another. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go into Romans 2. It says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. And Pastor touched on this, talking about hypocrisy. Okay, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of Yah is according to truth. I mean, we're talking about Yahweh's ways, Yahweh's sentences, Yahweh's laws, okay? Yahweh's instructions is according to truth against them which commit such things. verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of Yah? Question mark. So he's saying, verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same? See, this is what I touched on the Sabbath message. We're too, most of us, and that's a majority, not minority, most of us are so quick, and this is because of the age we live in. Very few people internalize. Very few people actually look at themselves. Because if you look at yourself, you become a genius. Okay? Most of the people are too focused on others. If, and you know, Paul was a genius. In my book, okay, in my assessment, Apostle Shaul, Apostle Paul, was a pure genius because, you know, he came to the conclusion that this is Christ's intervention into Paul's life in the Damascus Road situation. From then on, you see Paul coming to the clear consensus that one has to stay steadfast in this way. One has to do a serious self-check. So in my assessment, Apostle Paul is a great example in the fact that he constantly warns, through and through, he constantly warns us to not just receive this message of Christ, but okay, now you have heard. Now how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? It's not so much how are we going to respond. End of the day, if we don't really truly understand submission, we can't say that we're walking repentantly. All right, saints? And this interview that Pastor had with Sister Gina, Mother Gina, is a great example of just that. 99% of sisters do not know what submission means. I stand behind that 100%, 110%. 99% of sisters do not understand what submission means. For the fact that you are born in the West and say that you understand submission as a sister, you're gravely mistaken. Why can I say that? Because I was born and raised in the East. And in the East, women didn't even enter the room where brothers discussed or was even having a conversation. So don't dare tell me that you understand submission when I have seen sisters covering their head, okay, not only during prayer, but just covering their head, and especially growing up in an Islamic nation, women were mandated to cover their head, not because the fact that you're Muslim, doesn't matter, did not matter, you had to cover your head. I remember my mother was a nurse. She still is a registered nurse. She, being a nurse, and she used to work for, you know, the hospitals that belong to the sheikhs. In that establishment, I used to remember as a little boy seeing her actually with a covered head. But I tell you what, in my journey, I have seen how even women in the East back then, had problems submitting to a husband, submitting to a righteous man. So 20 plus years fast forward into the West, I don't want to hear where brothers and sisters approach me saying that they know what submission means. I just had a talk with Pastor yesterday. Okay? With the fact that even disciplined ones in the West do not understand what submission means. Okay? So, this is a very, very strange age we live in. Very strange age. Those of you that are in your late 40s, 50s, can attest to, even in the West, how much has changed. See, I have seen families, you know, families that were in the 70s and 80s, it's a stark difference. It's a big difference compared to the families and households of today. So, you know, walking repentantly is a lifestyle, saints. Walking repentantly is a mode of thinking. Because I tell you what, the moment we lose sight of, oh, you know what, if I stop walking repentantly, then I'm going to move into a path of arrogance, you know, and this so-called pastor, Roberts, is a great testament of that. Who in their right mind would listen to some of his words and ever would even have a soft, a soft heart towards what he's saying? You wouldn't, because there's nothing that man spewed. If those of you go back and listen to that debate between Pastor Dowell and Pastor Roberts on the subject of marriage, okay, polygyny to be exact, you will be, it's going to be up to you to see if this man depicted, displayed, showed, spoke with a pastoral heart. This man did not even have a shepherd's heart, because a shepherd's heart had to be a heart of serious understanding, a serious long-suffering, we're talking about Yah's heart. Because Yah is the great shepherd. Yah is the shepherd. All right? So we have some serious perception that we need to have, a perspective that we need to have in this day and age. If one does not walk repentantly, then there was never a true repentance at all, as far as I'm concerned. Or there may have been a genuine repentance, but then now you are in a backslidden state. You are wallowing in shit. You're wallowing in vomit, okay? You're wallowing in a serious mess with no aspiration or discernment that it is a mess and an aspiration to change. You know, a desire to change. And that's another subject in itself. Where is the desire? What is the desire of this day and age? I mean, it's hilarious to see how we touched on the subject of carnality a few weeks back. And that has become the desire of this day and age. What you see, what you touch, what you smell is the desire. You know? So, let's go back to Romans 2 here. Verse 4, we're going to go on to verse 4 here. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness?" Riches of whose goodness? Riches of the Most High's goodness, all right? "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance?" And each of these words have very good meaning to it. Goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Not knowing that the goodness of Yah, it is the goodness of Yah that leads one to repentance, lead thee to repentance. Okay, and you look at these words, goodness. We're going to touch on these few words here. So you look at the word goodness. It's talking about Yah's moral goodness, okay? It's talking about Yah's integrity from the Greek word 5544. Okay, it's talking about Yah's integrity. And this is why a lot of people in this day and age, whether they're heathen or Hebrew, you know, what is most questioned is their integrity. Because there was really truly no genuine repentance, because if we understand the word repentance, we know repentance have to do with, you know, who are you asking for repentance? You're asking for repentance from a creator whose integrity and moral goodness is far supersedes yours. Okay, so there is a beginning and end to this, to what we're talking about. Why does one repent? Because one realizes how immoral they are. Therefore, they are seeking the Most High. They're seeking a right standing, righteousness of Yah. Okay? The origin of the word goodness comes from 5543. It's talking about moral excellence in character and demeanor. What are we supposed to have as a people? We're supposed to have this goodness, recognizing the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Okay, not knowing. This is why a lot of brothers and sisters are still struggling with the basic things, you know, strife, contention. We touched on this when we were going over the topic of carnality. We're not having goodness, the same goodness that's extended towards us. The same forbearance that's extended towards us. What is forbearance? Forbearance comes from the Greek word, or you break that down, is 463. Okay? And you look at the word forbearance in this day and age. It is explained as the act of refraining from exercising a legal right. Especially enforcing, this has to do with debt. And this is what, you know, what a lot of us don't understand is that there is a huge debt that must be paid, which is sin. You know, it's been washed away. The wages of sin is death. So with that being moved out of there, the only way that can be taken out of the way is through the Most High Yah. With His extension of goodness towards us, with His extension of forbearance towards us, right? And you look at the origin of the word forbearance is 430, okay, which is called self-restraint. And yesterday, Pastor was touching on the subject of grief. I don't know those of you that listened to the message caught that word. It caught me because later on in the evening, I found myself talking about it, even the more so with the household. Because a lot of times we don't understand what we do. We say we have repented. We say that we're walking repentantly. But we don't realize the grief that we do cause when we cause an issue to the ones that are over us. So the origin is also self-restraint, where, and yesterday when Pastor touched on the word grief, he also helped us understand that the one that rebukes, okay, the one that rebukes have to really perform a greater restraint self-restraint, have to perform at an even higher integrity, because he's questioning your integrity. He's correcting your integrity. When someone rebukes, especially elders and pastors, okay, when they're rebuking and they're correcting and exhorting and trying to bring the brother and or sister to the correct path, they have to exercise a greater restraint. They have to exercise a greater forbearance. Okay? And goodness extended towards you, because there is a serious place that has been given here for correction. There is a serious opportunity for redeeming a brother or a sister. Excuse me, saying. And the long suffering is amazing. A lot of times we don't realize is that when we do this to the elders, when we do this to the pastors, when we do this to our husbands, or et cetera, those that are over us and children, to their mothers and fathers and things of that nature, this is dishonoring Yah. So when one says that they're walking repentantly, when one says that they're walking carefully, they don't realize that if they have not corrected their ways, they are not walking repentantly. So the word goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, you look at the word long suffering, it's the Greek word 3115. It's exercising patience, endurance, steadfastness, and a serious perseverance. You look at Yahshua, him being our perfect advocate, our advocate to the Father. I mean, how much long suffering and patience that's extended to us, obedient ones, to continue on the path of obedience. And that's what striving means. But understanding the word repentantly, even the more so, there is a real calling there. I mean, we cannot say that we, as it says in verse 4, or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that not knowing that the goodness of Yah lead thee to repentance. Okay, is a question. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yah, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So, and we're not going to go much further in that chapter, but there's a serious pause, okay? There's a serious reflection that needs to happen in this day and age when we say that we're walking repentantly. Where is the fear of Yah? When one says that they're walking repentantly or they have repented, where is the display? See, the fear of Yah is a display. Fear of Yah is a fruit that is displayed. Where is it? And these are some of the things that all of us must factor in, take into consideration. Because this is the only way we can bring honor to the Most High. We're going to go into 1 Peter. And we're going to touch on a serious, because we're talking about, again, we're talking about a manner of thinking. You know, if we say we have a renewed mind, a renewed mind is due to what? Due to us walking, is because of us walking repentantly. That's what renewed mind means. Perfect love does what? Perfect love casteth out fear, right? Where is the perfect love? If we say we're walking repentantly, it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment. So we were talking earlier about the demeanor. If we really truly possess the character of Christ, we will have this goodness. We will have this forbearance. You know, when Paul often says to think on these things, he's talking about these characteristics that we need to have towards one another, because these are differently put, but they are the fruits of the Spirit, saints. Just pause and think for a second. These are the fruits of the Spirit that we, a lot of times, we must have. But because of a hardened state, we're despising the riches, that is, the riches of Yah, the character of Yah that is already extended to us. That's why early on in the show, I was touching on the kingdom of Yah is at hand. The kingdom of Yah is within you. I mean, if we were to just take a moment and ponder upon those words, the only way the kingdom of Yah can operate within you is to cast out this fear. We say that we have love toward brethren, which we're going to, which is also what Peter talks about. You know, he admonishes. And this is also mentioned in Hebrews as well. Admonishes us to continue in brotherly love. What does that mean? It says, in John it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I'm touching on 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 and on. Actually, 17 is a great verse. It says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And that's what we just touched in Romans 2. Because the judgment of Yah is going to come. And when that comes, do we have love of Yah to actually brace? Okay? To actually, you know, as Pastor said yesterday, you know, and he's taught on this. There is no reason to run away from the judgment of Yah, because you're operating according to his righteous laws. If you're operating according to his righteous laws, why must there be any fear? No, there is no fear. Because perfect love casts out that fear. Perfect love is because you are in the parameters of Yah's judgment, Yah's instructions. We are operating according to his righteous laws, therefore we have nothing to no reason to stumble, no reason to be offended, no reason to be fearful. So I think it was a beautiful, beautiful three words that we got to cover there. Goodness, forbearance, long-suffering. Now the origin of the word long-suffering comes from the Greek word 3116. And it has to do with patience again. Coming from the word longanimity, which is also synonymous to the word patience. it is, again, the operative word there, long. Okay, this is a real extension of his love. It's being, I mean, just if we were to just imagine how much, you know, the Most High is enduring with his people. I mean, it's provision. And then when you go through Torah and the Tanakh, we are seeing the hand of the Most High. We're seeing the hand of the Father, okay? He provides for his children, for his nation. He provides, and they forget. Then he has to correct. He has to be merciful with them. Then he provides. Then he corrects. I mean, this is exactly what happens. Those of us that are fathers can understand this, because he's providing. The child disobeys, goes into a tantrum, throws a hissy fit, does not want to understand, is stubborn, gets a hardness of heart, is impenitent, does not want to turn. Now the father has to correct. He has to seriously punish. He has to bring about a serious rebuke for a straightening up. And then the son, the nation, recognizes their wicked ways, begins to walk repentantly. The fear of Yah is seen. Yah provides. They forget. They disregard what the elders say. They consider the leadership of Yah, ordained leadership of Yah, foolishness. They have no respect. Now the hand of Yah is back into a mode of correction, rebuking, chastising, punishing, getting the nation to operate again in obedience. I mean, this is a cycle we see through and through. Is not. Are we despising the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Because this is the only thing that leads us to walk repentantly. Because when we go into 1 Peter, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. But before we go there, we're going to take a quick break, saints. Hallelujah. And I should be right back, and we'll go into 1 Peter 5. And close this session out. Hallelujah. Bless you.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, the King is coming. And our our conduct, our behavior, one to another, is going to expedite his coming, saints. This all goes back to the saints crying out, Abba Father, come quickly. Because the wickedness on earth is only going to increase, saints. The only way we can expedite his coming, return of the King, is to have a serious fear of Yah. Is to walk humbly before him, as it says in Micah. One Peter chapter 5. It starts out by instruction to the elders, but I'm gonna start at verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know what, saints? The only way, I truly believe in my spirit, the only way we can have the kingdom of Yah within us is to have this love that is mentioned here. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yeah. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God, Yah, resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So this is a mandate. This is the best roadmap. This is the best blueprint one can have in possessing the kingdom of Yah. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. This is where, the reason I'm touching this, saints, the reason we need to go here is that one cannot say they are walking repentantly, or they have repented, or they have a softened heart. Pastor often reminds us we need to have what? We need to be tender-hearted. Where is he getting that from? He's getting it from the Word. You want to look at a callous man? The perfect example of that was Mr. Roberts. You can tell, as Pastor said, that was a good analysis on that man. 15 years of offense keeping on building. This man has grown severely bitter because he's never really dealt with the issue. He does not have to humble himself to anybody. He doesn't have to answer to anybody. He is the king. He is the man. Everybody needs to bow down to him. That's not what the word is saying here. Peter admonishes, instructs to the body of Christ here. This is to the body of Christ. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yeah, all of you, be subject one to another. See, this is where the love begins. Love begins in our speech. Because out of the mouth comes what? Right? So, out of the mouth comes these issues. What is really truly in your heart is what's going to come out. So when you open your mouth and begin speaking tender words one to another, okay, and a lot of times we'll need to be long-suffering one to another, forbearing one another, shown for the goodness, those three words that we touched on, okay? And this is where one is able to stay subjected one to another, okay? One has to remain extremely sensitive to this, because if we don't, this is when the hardness of heart moves in. This is where the wicked man gets the fuel, because there's nothing, not sensitive to the spirit by any means. And this is when the man, the brother or sister begins to treasure to themselves wrath of what? Wrath of Yah upon him. Now when the judgment of Yah visits, they're found guilty. They are in a condemned state. So where is the repentance? Where is the true submission? It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yeah, all of you be subject one to another. See, this is gold, saints. This is some serious nugget that Peter is giving, Apostle Peter is giving to the body of Christ. This is the preparation. This is a true preparation of the body of Christ to, in fact, be aligned with the head. This is the kind of mindset one ought to have. When this happens, this is when the real true presence of Yah descends. This is where the true presence of Yah, this is where the move of Yah manifests. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yeah, all of you be subject one to another, and do what? We're talking about a garment here, and be clothed with humility. For what happens? For Yah resists the proud, but he does what? He gives grace to the humble. See, it's a contradiction if one says that they have repented, or they're walking repentantly, or they're working their salvation out with fear and trembling, but they lack humility. If they don't have the garment of humility, and this goes across the board. This is to all leaders and followers. This is the manner of thinking that all of us must possess. Okay? It says in verse 6, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that he may exalt you in due time. So why go running around for accolades, for some kind of certificate, or for some kind of a pat on the back, or for some kind of title, why go running around? Because who does the lifting? Who does the exalting? It's because of your humbleness, it is Yah that is going to exalt. It is Yah that is going to bring forth His glory upon you, because your mannerism, your demeanor, your countenance brings Yah glory. But if there are things in one's life that is contradicting, there isn't a true humility there. The garment is spotted. The garment is tainted. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. Thank you, Father, for your word. Verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon Him. Casting all your care upon Him. This is a true father. Earlier I was talking about the father-son relationship, likened unto a father, the Most High Yahweh, dealing with the nation, with us, Israel. This is exactly how we must deal with the Father, where there's some serious casting of our cares upon Him. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. See, all of these things that we mentioned from Romans 2, now we're here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 is a reason why we must take into account what we meditated upon, Romans 2 and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and on. Verse 8 is the reason. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your enemy, okay, your adversary, the one that hates your soul, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. This is why Apostle Paul clearly said, if you think you stand, think again. Many of us think we got our I's dotted and T's crossed, and we're ready for combat. But I tell you what, being in the military, I can clearly tell you, we spend, man, I couldn't even begin to tell you how much time we spend in preparation. We spend more time indoors to deal with the fight outside. And we're not wasting time indoors. We're not wasting time during training or field exercises. Okay, we are. It's the physical preparation is really a mental preparation. The physical exercises, the physical, you know, as the world says, practice makes perfect. Practicing, constantly communicating, constantly doing, constantly, repeating. What actually works is a stepping stone for successful combat, for successful spiritual warfare, for successful healing, for successful deliverance. So why is the kingdom of Yah not in operation among us? Because of these, there are things that still needs to be eradicated, or else we wouldn't be still getting these messages. Yesterday's message dealt a lot with idolatry, as I touched on earlier. In other words, in Joshua chapter 7, verse 24 and on, it's a clear example of how Achan was holding Yah's people back. So if we all had the fear of Yah, if we all had a one-mindedness, And what is that? Being subject one to another. We can't say we have humility. The one that is prideful, the one that do not want to be corrected, the one that fights, the one that tries to duck and run away from the judgment, it's a clear testimony of a serious arrogance, serious pride that is working in their lives. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So look at what Peter goes on to say. In verse 9, he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the Yah of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So is that working that Paul talks about in Philippians? What is that working? The working is what we read in verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yeah, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for Yah resisteth who? Yah resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Therefore do what? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that he may exalt you in due time. All right, saints? So I just wanted to touch on those few things. I don't want to keep you. Don't want to be any longer than what we have already meditated upon. Again, going back to a serious contemplating of where our mind is, because there, you know, the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of heathenism that's still working, or there's a lot of Gentile nature in us. To say that we don't is to actually lie to our own selves and to be tagged a liar. There's still a lot of pagan infusions into our lives, and this is why it's so important to stay humble one to another, to be subject one to another, okay, and possessing that cloak. Okay, the cloth of humility, as we touched on earlier. Be clothed with humility, to be exact. Okay, so there's a demeanor we're talking about here. There's a serious level of goodness, the characteristics that the Most High, the character of Yah, is what we need to have as our characteristics. Okay, the goodness that's extended towards us. Having enough mercy to help our fellow brothers. Having enough mercy to help our fellow sisters. Okay, because, you know, in the army we say no man left behind. You know, no matter how much he's hurting, we will make sure he is carried to a safe place. You know, that's just the way we operate in the military. So we are over here being in the military of Yah, hallelujah, in being a soldier of Christ, we need to operate the same way. We need to be helpers one to another, constantly coaching, teaching, mentoring, staying in humility, the willingness to share. These tendencies are so lacking in Israel. And this one, a few things that I touched on when we were going over the teaching on carnality touching the subject of carnality, because we are being reared in a carnal world. We're being reared in an animalistic world, a world that only puts the majority emphasis on the fleshly nature. This is why religion really wins. The religious systems of the world really wins, because there's just a facade of spirituality, but majority of the emphasis goes towards customs, rituals, the repetition of the traditions of men. That's what the most emphasis is, and that's why the system of religion is in fact a serious cash cow. It's a serious business in this world. Islam, whatever religion it is. I mean, if you look at some of the Eastern religions, there's more homage that goes towards it. There's so much. There are so many factions, so many groups of people that actually make pilgrimages to holy places. So when we look at the great men, I don't care what Roberts had to say, when we look at the great men mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12, they had to fight wind and tide against the religions of their day and age to actually walk in the Spirit. Every one of them had to walk in the Spirit. Look at Moses. I mean, there is a great example of a man who repented of his wicked ways and never to go back to that kind of idolatry of Egypt, being a prince. And we can talk about Abraham. We can talk about the Hall of Faith, as they call it, Hebrews chapter 12. But there's a real a wanting of the fear of Yah among us as Yah's people, because we can't say we have the fear of Yah when we don't have the love of Yah, when we can display the love of Yah one to another. Okay, so again, going back to the tendencies that we need to have in this day and age, which is effective communication, a real desire to be subject to one to another, which is what? Being helpers one to another, finding out, what does my brother really need? What does my sister really need? How can I come beside him or her and lift her and lift him from the depths that they are sinking into? Because life, as we know, in this world, I mean, the more studies I do, research on different subjects and things of that nature, I mean, this life, as we know, is a sinking sand. And we can see a lot of people, I mean, the statistics, we went over some of the statistics a few Shabbats back on the subject of on carnal America. Everything that goes on in this world that we live in is programming a lot of people for frustration, programming a lot of people, indoctrinating them for an aggravated state. And if we can only understand, teachers having a laugh out loud session there, but it's so true. I mean, it's so true, saints. And this is why there's got to be a serious desire among us, of that love that we must have, as we read, we touched in 1 John. Hallelujah. Bless you, saints. I'm not going to keep you any longer. There's been a lot of rich word that is coming forth, and I'm just flabbergasted at Yah's goodness towards us and his long-suffering towards us and how much he's forbearing us. We don't want to go into any more debt, that's for sure. That means when we talk about debt, we're talking about sin, okay? We don't want to go into any more debt. The debt has been paid. As it talks about in Hebrews chapter, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 11, I'm sorry, Hebrews 10, the sacrifice. The Christ has already you know, a sacrifice has already been completed. And a lot of times we don't understand the significance of that sacrifice. And reflect back or so used to stubbornness, you know, so used to our rebellious nature. And that's what Israel's, you know, is known for constantly. So I love you, saints. Let's stay humble. That is, I tell you what, if we can remind ourselves, if we can just even have something written in bold lettering on a sheet of paper somewhere, wherever you go, and just say, stay humble, be clothed in humility. Because these are the things that keeps us what? Sober and keeps us vigilant. Love you, saints. Shalom. Have a beautiful week. Have a beautiful walk in Christ. We'll see you on the other side. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Blessings.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L. INGTON, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled LAFAYETTE 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.